This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, January 28, 2022. I'm Mark Bolasie. In the report this week, International Education Day and Child Labour. Bangladesh garment workers need a living wage. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
For every stitch of clothing, someone sweats away unseen. While tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh. 100 years of struggle.
This is Radio Labour. Unions celebrated International Education Day this week. C. Marie Ainsborough has a report.
January 24th is the International Day for Education, a day set aside by the United Nations to remind people of the importance of quality education. Labour organizations around the world use the day to lobby governments to improve their educational systems. One of those organizations is Education International. EI represents more than 32 million teachers and education support personnel in 178 countries. David Edwards is EI's General Secretary.
The International Day of Education is an annual celebration to highlight the essential role of education for our communities and societies around the world. But these are not normal times. We have just entered the third year of the COVID-19 pandemic, the third year of the worst education crisis in history. A wholly preventable catastrophe exacerbated by greed, short-sightedness, vaccine nationalism, and global inaction. Right now, keeping schools open and safe during relentless waves of the pandemic is a priority for governments, parents, and teachers everywhere. Closing schools means endangering the future of our children and crippling our societies. However, this priority, it's not reflected in education budgets. Since the start of the pandemic, education budgets have fallen in two-thirds of low- and middle-income countries and in one-third of upper-, middle-, and high-income countries. This is devastating. And every day, teachers are asked to do much, much more with much, much less. Less support, less information, and yes, less resources. Even before the pandemic, the United Nations estimated that 69 million more teachers were needed to achieve Sustainable Development Goal 4 and ensure inclusive, quality education for all. The heavy workload, lack of resources to keep schools safe, and chronic understaffing in education means more and more teachers are leaving the profession they love and that the world needs. This International Day of Education is a wake-up call. We must make sure all students are taught by a trained and qualified teacher, and that each teacher is valued and supported. As Education International, the voice of the teaching profession worldwide, we call upon governments everywhere to truly prioritize education.
One of the most crucial issues facing educators is child labor. In Africa, for example, 87 million child laborers are at work, not at school. David Sinyalo is EI's director for the Africa region.
There is consensus that the most effective way to eradicate child labor is to ensure access to equitable, inclusive, relevant, quality education for all. Quality education can break the generational cycles of poverty and help create equal opportunities for all. However, putting children in school is not enough. Putting children in unsafe and overcrowded classrooms, in schools without toilets, without water, or without health protocols, or without enough trained teachers can result in school dropouts. What all children need is a quality education ensured by three key pillars. Number one, qualified teachers with decent salaries and working conditions. Number two, quality tools and resources. And number three, safe, healthy, and supportive quality learning environments.
For years, labor activists around the world have been campaigning to ensure that garment workers in Bangladesh and other countries earn a living wage. A living wage is the minimum income needed for workers to meet their basic needs, including food, housing, some small savings, and other essential needs. One of the labor projects trying to help workers in Bangladesh is the Labor Link podcast. Its host is Judy Gearhart of the American University's Accountability Research Center. Here's the podcast.
Once you start work for worker rights, you cannot stop. You just can't stop yourself. Because I need to protest. I need to have these workers back.
That's Kalpana Akhtar, a former child worker turned worker organizer and the director of the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity. My name is Judy Gearhart, and this is The Labor Link, a podcast about workers' rights and global supply chains, where we share the personal stories of the brave individuals organizing the workers who make our stuff. Bangladesh has built its economy on apparel exports. It's the world's second largest exporter of apparel after China. And the industry generates more than 80% of the country's export earnings, employing 4.5 million workers. Not surprisingly, Bangladesh's economy has taken huge hits during the COVID-19 pandemic, and many workers have been struggling to feed their children. In Bangladesh, there's no social insurance, and even the workers producing for rich export markets like Europe, the US, or Canada are earning subsistence wages.
My name is Kalpana Akhtar. I'm a former child worker. I started working in a factory in the age of 12. I had to be a child worker because my mom did not pay a living wage.
Let's talk about the broader context now in Bangladesh with COVID and everything that's happening with the brands not fulfilling their orders.
The situation really dire. Over 300,000 workers lost their jobs. This is horrific. How those workers are surviving now, you can't even believe. Many of them don't have 1 meal a day. That is their situation.
So I'm trying to think about where you go from here in terms of the demands on the brands and the demands on the government.
My job is doing it nationally and internationally. It is important to run both campaign and advocacy together because the government in here are strongly colluded with business. In our parliament, my legislator is my factory owner. And when you are in that situation, it's very minimum you can achieve. Consumers can play a big role. Don't get afraid when you see a clothes that made in Bangladesh. When you know workers with a poverty wages, almost no union voice, don't feel guilt. You should feel anger. And show this anger to the brands. Ask them more questions. People need to be treated as a human. These workers, those are producing clothes or any other goods for you, they should be paid a living wage. They should be working in a safe workplace. They should be free to exercise their union voice. They should be socially protected. And there should not be any gender-based violence in those workplaces where they're working. In one word, you are asking for a workers to have a job with dignity. Ask your government to have a due diligence law, because that will make accountable your companies.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Labor Link. To learn more about Kalpana's work and the Bangladesh Center for Worker Solidarity, go to bcwsbd.org. And to hear more episodes of The Labor Link, go to empathymedialab.com/laborlink. This podcast is a collaboration between the Accountability Research Center and Empathy Media Lab. To hear more podcasts about workers' rights, visit laborradionetwork.org.
You can find more information about apparel workers in Bangladesh at #PayYourWorkersCleanClothesCampaign. Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of a national agreement in Canada that will see Uber workers become union members, the increasingly difficult and even deadly situation faced by trade unions in Myanmar, and the ongoing struggle to free 8 strike leaders in Cambodia. We also had news from Ghana, where unions reacted to an explosion that killed 13 workers, and about the delicate situation faced by unions in Burkina Faso in the aftermath of the recent coup there. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found stories about the hyper-exploitation of women gig workers in Ukraine and why the Indian women who work at providing rural children with health and nutritional assistance have so militant a history, that's reflected in their current activism across that country and equaled by that of Polish flight attendants as they struggle to return to their jobs after Polish Airlines begins the process of returning to normal operations. A small sample of the stories appearing on our health and safety page and Newswire this week includes many, many stories from Canada, Europe, and Latin America about the job stresses being endured by paramedics and other ambulance workers. Beyond the direct effects of the pandemic on their workloads, paramedics have seen their roles expand drastically over the past 2 years. We also covered the strike threat by Australian teachers that won them significant health and safety concessions in the lead-up to the opening of schools in that country, and the angering news that industrial accidents in India continue to rise, with 168 deaths recorded last year and many hundreds more going unnoticed by the authorities. Our photo of the week is a tribute to the members of the Free Trade Zone and General Services Employees Union of Sri Lanka, who have remained active and militant during the pandemic. They have taken on offensive employer behaviors, including strip searches of workers entering and leaving a so-called free trade zone, and they recently won a global supply chain agreement in concert with other unions. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here are the Low Tide Drifters with Every Stitch.
In New York's garment district, a century ago, flames swept through a sweatshop where young women came to sew. They tried to flee to safety, but they found the stairwells locked. Some perished from the smoke and fire, some fell on the hard sidewalk. Present day in Bangladesh, 11 stories high. Workers stand before the glass, how they wish that they could fly. Exit doors are locked up tight, and the air is full of screams. 26 will die today for the sake of cool blue jeans. For every stitch of clothing someone sweats away unseen, while the tangled threads of justice unravel at the seams. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle. Along a global chain of greed and pain, hidden from the public view. All across America, in every crowded mall, shoppers shop beneath the smiles of models on the wall. But the promise of a logo is nothing more than sleight of hand, a corporate mask to hide the lies behind the brand. And there are tears tonight in Dhaka. See the workers in the streets with banners flying high above their weary marching feet. We who sport the fashions can be a voice that calls for change. In blood and fear and poverty, union rise from the flames. From the slums of New York City to the streets of Bangladesh, 100 years of struggle, it ain't over yet.
And that's it. Labor news you can use. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.